Welcome to a special episode of Made in the 80s about something that was not made in the 80s, but is based on the 80s. Roots in the 80s, origins. Just like us. It's like if we had a child, it could be this. Because we were made in the 80s and it's made in 2017.
Our child would be a replicant.
I totally agree.
Spoiler alert. Segue. So what are we talking about? This one supplement special?
Blade Runner 2049, the sequel to 1982.
Go back and cancel.
Blade Runner.
His eyes.
Real quick, why isn't Ryan Gosling on this picture?
That's a fake Blade Runner.
It's a Blade Runner.
Is that only Blade Runner?
Yeah, because look at that Rucker Howard at the top.
Yeah.
Look at him. Creepy Rucker Howard at the top.
You're going to have to repeat what you said.
Sorry.
What did I say?
I don't know.
It's okay. Blade Runner 2049, a sequel to 1982 sci-fi classic Blade Runner. This one is directed by Denis Villeneuve, who people know from Sicario.
Is that how you say
his name? I hope I'm close.
That's why I heard
Denis Villeneuve.
Whoa,
that's very different.
It's Denis, though. It's not Denis. It's like Denis Villeneuve.
Because it's D-E-N-I.
Sicario. We know Sicario. We know him from...
Prisoners. Enemy. And Arrival.
One of your favorite movies.
One of my top 10... I think it's top 10 favorite movies I've ever seen.
I came home one day nice kind run. Of just hugging people.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to give people hugs today.
But he's got, before we get into the movie, Denis, this is not your pronounced his first name, right? He's had a good run.
Yeah.
Enemy, I mean, is he Arrival, 1000?
Prisoner.
I haven't Sicario. Seen
oh, Prisoner's great.
Was it?
Yeah. Sicario and Blade Runner. That's a nice...
Enemy
it's
has,
a nice little box set.
Enemy has the worst shot in any movie I've ever seen.
Oh, the last shot?
The last shot of that damn movie.
But I love that movie.
It's a very different movie.
I love that
movie.
It's a movie that you have to, just like Blade Runner, you have to go into.
Just go out to watch it.
But the point, I think the point is that, all right, so...
He's a talented director.
He's very talented.
He's a talented director.
He's making a follow-up to a Ridley Scott classic, which I was concerned about because Prometheus, I felt like was a letdown, which is was Ridley Scott actually following up his own movie.
But Ridley Scott hasn't been a visionary for years. I think what makes Denis important is like, even something like Sicario, it's a simple story about this woman working on this drug task force. It's still very much a visionary's view of it, because if you look at the border stop at the beginning, it's like it's intense. Like you're dropped in the middle of this sort of stop at the border.
Right.
And I think he's because he and we saw that same with Prisoners isn't just simply like a kidnap story, and just like Arrival isn't just a movie about aliens. So I think he has that in him. So that's the kind of director you want taking on a project.
That is why I was going to say I was optimistic for this movie, despite my experience with Prometheus, because this person has a visual style, like an atmospheric and visual style that I felt he would be able to pull something off of this.
And props to the cinematographer Richard Deakins, as I'm sure you guys have seen before. He worked on Arrival, worked on a bunch of stuff. He is amazing. So all the visual stuff you see, the textures, the change in weather, the color,
it looks
all the depth, like
amazing.
That's Deakins is he'll probably win an Academy Award for this.
He should.
Yeah.
There's no reason why he shouldn't. It is probably the most visually sort of stunning films I've seen in a very, very long time.
He created, like, as much as we feel like there was a really well-realized world in Blade Runner, it was one city, like one location. They don't go outside of it. They don't show these off-world colonies. They still don't do it in this movie, but they leave. First of all, we're going to spoil this entire movie. This is a discussion about the entire movie. So if you haven't seen it and you want to be spoiler-free...
We have to spoil a warning.
In this, they leave what they call Greater Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They go down to San Diego, which is basically a trash dump for Los Angeles. And they go out to Las Vegas. Which...
Radioactive
because of some sort of nuclear attack at some point.
Yeah.
But stuff is so well preserved that it seems like it didn't. This blast zero was not.
Yeah, I don't think it was the blast. I think it was just the radiation.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not the case in Los Angeles. So it's like, where did this bomb go off?
Okay, but that's going kind of into the weeds. If we go back to kind of setting it up, Ridley Scott does have a hand in this, sort of, right? He's a producer in this.
But that's...
Yeah, do we know, how was his role? Was it active at all, or is it just like,
I don't know.
Because I still believe that the story part of it, he might have had a lot of influence
on. Really? He hasn't done anything good in a long time.
So it's been a minute since
Ridley Scott.
What is his list of things in the last decade?
Oh my God.
The last thing he did was probably The Martian.
Probably, yeah.
Well, didn't The Martian win something?
The Martian was based on a book already.
Right.
Well, I mean,
just like Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
The thing is, in my opinion, it probably comes down to the screenwriter more often than is given credit.
Yes. Gladiator. Gladiator was Ridley Scott production.
That's how I know him.
Yeah.
That's what introduced me to
But him. He's got, well, also, Ridley, he was in, I think he was responsible, he and his wife were responsible for The Good Wife.
Yeah.
So they had like their whole.
I had no idea. Ridley Scott is affected or is part of The Good Wife?
Yeah.
He's not The Good Wife, though.
He is not.
All right, so Ridley Scott's filmography.
Black Hawk Down. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Quick factoid. Okay. Black Hawk Down was Shelly and I's first date.
Oh, wow.
Ridley Scott's the party last. All right, so we've got The Martian in 2015. Oh, I'm sorry. Alien Covenant. Mm. That's in there. The Martian. Exodus, Gods and Kings. Mm. The Counselor. Prometheus. Your favorite. Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. I hated that one so much.
American Gangster. A Good Year. Kingdom of Heaven.
American Gangster.
All the Invisible Children.
Kingdom of Heaven.
That was a good one.
I heard Kingdom of Heaven was good. Okay, Celia hated Kingdom of Heaven.
I hated that.
I hear the director's cut.
Yes, that's better.
We watched it with Dimmick, and I was like, I can't handle this.
Okay, Hannibal, Black Hawk Down, Gladiator, G.I. Jane.
Oh, G.I. Jane?
White Squall, Thelma and Louise.
Wait, White Squall or White Squall?
White Squall.
That's one of my favorite movies ever.
No, White Squall. Black Rain. Yeah. Someone Watch Over Me, Legend.
Legend? Oh, that was an 80s movie you guys do.
Blade Runner.
Unicorns
and Tom Cruise. They go hand in hand.
That's his thing. So he's got some hits and some misses. Some hits, some big hits and a lot of big misses. He's like Aaron Judge. A lot of big swings. Some of them hit, some of them don't, you know.
Aaron Judge is a baseball player.
He plays baseball.
I was like, wait. The guy who made Beavis and Butthead?
He set the record for
home runs.
For home runs by a rookie. Beat
some other rookie.
Anyways,
so this is not a sports podcast.
Babe Ruth,
yes.
Yeah.
Beat the babe. The plot of the film is we find our detective for LAPD K, played by Ryan Gosling. He is the new Blade Runner. And he is going around retiring replicants.
Yeah, very same plot from the first one.
Setup.
I mean, like in terms of that setup.
Similar.
So far, I'm saying.
A guy from LAPD. A guy retiring replicants.
A certain model
was retired already.
Yeah.
This guy is active duty.
Active duty.
And it starts off with him retiring a replicant. The only
played by Dave Bautista.
Sorry, I'm talking about like just come into the movie. They have the writing in front that says this is what they set up. I'm saying it's kind of similar. We're retiring these type of models. That's all I'm saying.
Off-world stuff. We're retiring.
Right, because it's
so I said kind of.
Hey, what we didn't talk about with Blade Runner podcast is where the name Blade Runner came from.
That was disappointing.
I know, right?
Disappointing as fuck. I'm like, what is it? It could be something really cool.
It was a cool sounding name that when they were looking for names for the movie.
But
that
the name Blade Runner is like, if you were saying, oh, I'm a Blade Runner. It's like, oh, so how the fuck does that come together with killing replicants?
All right, so I was mentioning to Shalia, like, do you know why we call cops cops?
No.
They used to have copper badges. Oh. Right? So there's all, I mean, it's not an answer, but it's just kind of a thought that just all types of reasons why they could call Blade Runners Blade Runners within the universe of the movie.
Yes, and that explanation pacified me well until we actually found the answer, and the answer was that it was not anything something cool like that.
It's a type of character from another science fiction book.
A different kind of character,
which is a cool basically, name. Basically, medicine has been pushed underground by certain, like treating people for their illnesses because the government just wants them to die. Like, lets people who are sick or injured die. And so the people who go out and collect scalpels and pills and stuff for the underground doctors to use are called Blade Runners. Which I think it's kind of cool anyways, but...
But not for a name of not for this.
Right. So Kay goes, retires Dave Bautista when he's on his property. His drone that's attached to his car,
which is a pretty cool idea.
Pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
It's like he pops his sunroof and it's a drone that's like, and he gives it commands.
Takes pictures.
Follows his voice and
protect the car.
Yeah. They do that cool thing that they do in Star Wars where this is all technology that is old or worn in or it's not super sleek.
Yeah.
This is like a patrol car. He's used this multiple times. Probably somebody else used the car before him, and it's the same drone. They do that a lot with the technology, which I think makes that lived-in atmosphere work.
And the tech is plausible follow-up from the original.
Yes.
Like, we're 30 years past when we last saw, this world. Correct. And it's like, yeah, this could be where they are at now.
And they consciously make this a continuation of the world of the first movie as opposed to like updating it for our time. I guess the reason I say that is like there's a huge Atari ad and like a lot more Sony ads than you see around. I don't know. Maybe in New York you see a lot of Sony ads, but
they didn't make like Beast Pan Am. Or anything.
That's the other one. Yeah, there's a big Pan Am.
Yeah.
And Pan Am hasn't been around since,
late 80s?
Late 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of,
So our buddy Kay finds a box. In the box are some bones. Takes the bones back to headquarters.
So one thing I think we should talk about, one thing I didn't really connect yesterday when I saw it, he's there to investigate a replicant movement kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a revolution kind of a deal.
Okay.
And so he's following a lead. And that's why he's there. It's not like he's like, oh, you're just some random replicant.
Right, no, he's like part of these.
Okay, so now there's a short. Mm-hmm. So they did a bunch of short videos. Do you see the short movie they did, the Texas movie?
No.
So they did one with Petita's character, and he's at a market, and he knows this woman, and he's just there helping this young girl. He gives her books, and then a fight breaks out. When he starts beating the shit out of these people, they realize he's a replicant. He drops his bag with a bunch of papers in it. A guy picks him up, finds him, calls LAPD and says, I think I found the replicant you're looking for. Uh-huh. It's a short, so you can find them. There's two of them. I think there's three of them.
Those are worth watching. I didn't know about that.
Side note, there's I really them. Like Bautista.
Yes.
He did a really good job in the short role that he was in.
Well, I mean, overall, in all the stuff I've been seeing him in, and so the fact that he was in there for such a short amount of time, it seemed almost like... what is it? Van Sydow from the first, Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this guy's in this. And then they're out of the movie so quickly. And it's almost like, I really like this guy. And why was he in it so short?
Beginning? Each character kind of set the ball in motion, for the movie. Like,
in this case, knowing that he was also in this supplementary material means that he has a wider role in it than I initially thought.
You can find those. You can find this. And there's another one where it's Jared Leto's character coming to these people who are apparently the government in this room, pitching the idea of these replicants that he now can create that he can control.
Right.
He's pitching to them why he's doing it. And so you can find these short. You can find them on Warner Brothers' YouTube page.
Those would be very useful,
Josh, because that makes this all seem less coincidental.
Yeah, because
the whole plot.
Because the whole thing is like, he's flying out there, and it was really cool.
This is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the middle of nowhere. Just the cinematography, just how it was filmed was amazing. And then, now they're fighting.
He's farming protein with worms.
Yeah, he's farming maggots.
Yeah, maggots.
Yeah, protein. Yeah, protein farm.
Protein farm.
It's a
bus. So, takes the bones back to LAPD.
Those are... Those are grubs. Yeah. Maggots.
Sorry.
So he's got the bones back. They realize that it looks like a pelvis. Pelvis been broken. Mm-hmm. Like this person gave birth. And then as they're looking, they can see the bones have been tagged. This person is a replicant. Mm-hmm. Who they weren't sure could actually, no one knew they could give birth.
This is an enormous, this is a huge revelation.
A huge revelation.
For their
kind
world.
Of. It seemed like it would be a huge revelation, except for then, like, 2 seconds later, it seemed like everybody already knew that that was the case. And
well, everyone's keeping it under wraps, because what Kay's boss says is, like, play by Robin Wright Penn, is like...
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's like, there's been a wall, and we're aware, mm-hmm. right, what separates us from them is that we give life. That makes us human, and that makes them not human. And once that wall separated, it's a war.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to, this has to go.
Yeah.
And that leads to what we talked about before with the old Blade Runner is, if this LAPD or whoever is run by corporations, I can imagine them mm-hmm. wanting this to be done with completely.
Yeah.
And the other, so when he gets back to LAPD, though, he has to run through the stress test where he answers these questions.
So did we say that he's a replicant?
Oh, he's a replicant. It's apparent.
He knows he is.
Not his name is in K-A-Y. It's the beginning of a series of letters and numbers.
Yeah.
That is his.
Yeah.
His serial number, his designation.
Yeah. They call him Skin Job. First of all, he needs a better apartment. They call him a Skin Job when going back to his apartment. It's a Skinner on his door. Like, it's clearly that everyone knows.
Skin Job is a slur for people who are for replicants.
Yeah. And so it's apparent he's a replicant in the first, like, 5 minutes of the film. So it's not even really a spoiler. When Kay gets home, however, he's got this device that's like a hologram friend, this woman named Joy.
It's a fun introduction where you think, oh, his like partner's in the other room
because you don't see her.
He's talking to her the whole time.
I was suspicious of what, because I didn't know like from before what she was. So I was like, I thought he was talking to just a voice. I thought he was talking to Alexa.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like his
like
house.
Scarlett Johansson, which we think her, that though. She looks a lot like.
It's very much like her, but like on the next level.
Right.
Yeah,
because they do the whole surrogate scene later on. We'll get to that.
Her the movie.
But then the girl played by, I forgot her name, but she was in Hands of Stone. She was in War Dogs as well.
She was in Knock Knock with Keanu
Reeves. She was in Knock Knock.
That's a creepy movie.
Yeah, where they knock on the door. She's great as Joy. So that's sort of like his girlfriend ish.
Yeah,
So he upgrades her with this other like sort of like a fire stick mm-hmm. that allows her now to leave the house,
mm-hmm.
so he can take her with him.
It makes her mobile versus mobile. Like desktop version. Yeah.
She's like a mobile girlfriend thing.
Very cool.
So meanwhile, when as Kay's doing research to find out where the hell these bones are from. It alerts the Tyrell, the newly reformed Tyrell Corporation that sort of fell to pieces.
No, this is a different corporation.
Wallace.
He bought Tyrell Corporation.
The Tyrell Corporation went under.
Right.
I can't remember.
Well, they killed Tyrell.
Well, so the, I think
but
there
wasn't
was,
just that. Oh, actually, I don't know if that was public, that how he died. That's a good point.
It was the, I think they say it's the replicant revolution, all the Civil War stuff that was going on with him.
It's
led to the Tyrell company going under.
Wait,
so
since
he bought them.
In the last 30 years, there's been a civil war?
Well,
and
it was like a robot revolution.
Like an insurgency.
Another
sort of
one?
Of course. These are humans.
Were we not learning? Okay.
They are.
Because there's another one coming.
The thing is that this is Wallace.
Wallace.
Wallace. Yeah. He got his money from protein.
From creating synthetic food because the food wasn't
some
grown.
Sort of synthetic special farming.
So he creates this food that people eat and buy, and he used that money to sort of like, I'm going to bring these replicants back.
Yeah, and so basically he made a replicant that obeys.
Yeah.
And so that is Ryan Gosling.
Is he?
Yes.
I thought it was Love.
Love is also, so, yeah. But
yes.
Ryan.
I wasn't sure if he was before that or not.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm going to assume that Love is like the special edition.
She's special for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was before the
she is great in this movie. The actress who played her is fantastic.
Yeah.
She, like, killed
it. You know what she reminded me of, though, is the Bladefoot chick from...
Blady Legs?
Sophia Boutella?
From Kingsman?
Kingsman.
Love her. I love Sophia Boutella. Sophia Boutella. So Wallace's character and Love get a hit that this old information is being looked up. So now they're on the same path as Kay, is trying to figure out what the hell is happening with this baby. Because Wallace wants more replicants. He wants to build an army of these replicants.
An army is...
A workforce.
An unending workforce, yes. Yeah. Servile class.
So is that why he's... Does he want... He wants
more
replicants.
Mm-hmm. But does he want them to be able to procreate? Or does he want to make them himself?
Yes, because... So the whole thing for him is that manufacturing is too slow and inefficient a process to create the scale that he wants. He wants to make so many, because his idea is that humanity should take over the stars. That our society should have spread out even further. And in order to do that, they're going to need this workforce, which makes him seem dumb. Yes. Because they're going to rebel. No matter whatever fail steps
but he thinks he can control
them. Yeah, somebody always thinks they can control some shit. And you know what? They can't.
Meanwhile, the time it takes to manufacture a replicant, an adult one, it takes so long to have a baby grow up and teach it and mature an adult.
But when you start growing things, when you start growing things biologically, you get an exponential growth rate. You can get, because...
Yeah, but you got to wait a long time for that.
Yeah, but she makes two, and then those two can make two more. It's faster than factory or whatever process they're using. Yeah. So he's talking about scaling things up on a time... I mean, it's going to take a certain time scale. It might take 20 years.
Yeah.
But the rate is going to be exponential compared to what they can currently manufacture. Mm-hmm. And also, they might not need... A regular human's gestation period. These are bioengineered organisms. They could, if you can rapidly make the cells divide, you could potentially shorten that to 3 months.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of development also has to do with the development of the brain, you know? And they probably are taking shortcuts with the brain so that it can't do certain things.
Yeah.
But still, you gotta wait for the kid to grow up.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the years.
But also, then you end up, you're raising them to be slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which benefits you, because that's all they know.
Mm-hmm. So, so in this world, that's what we're seeing.
That's what we're seeing.
Then
he's approached by some prostitutes at some point.
Yeah,
yep, they're sent over to him.
Over to him by a shadowy figure.
A shadowy figure that's like, go figure out what he knows.
And his girlfriend, who is now mobile with him, is like, oh, he likes this one. Mm-hmm. But I'm also jealous. So I liked when they were like, oh, so you don't like real girls.
No.
It's like, they're replicants, but they're saying that about this.
Were they all replicants?
Sorry, the one who said it was a replicant.
The one that was a replicant. No, I don't know if they all were.
Well, so they're like, oh, he's a Blade Runner.
And yeah, and then they left.
The two of them left.
Yeah, I think they were all replicants. Yeah,
so then the ones like, oh, I don't care.
I guess it's important that...
I think he was aware of who he was, though.
He only hunts down Nexus 6s and earlier.
Yeah.
Because Nexus 6, if you've watched the previous movie, are the main antagonists from that movie.
And the new ones are called Nexus 8.
Well, the most recent ones. There must have been a Nexus 7 or something. Yeah. But basically, any of the ones before the new models that obey, that have that built into them, are still need to be retired if they're found on Earth. But some of them have open-ended lifespans, which is weird, because Batista, I think, has been around for much longer, and he still needs to be retired by their standards.
Batista is a replicant?
Yeah.
He was like a military guy, and he had a...
That's why they... Military first aid.
Yeah, he had medical...
Oh. A Sepper?
Yeah, Stamper?
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 I don't know. What you're talking about.
He has a name.
But that's why he's his name. Yeah. Okay. Well, The actor is Batista, and I'm going to keep calling him that. And that's why he pulls his eye out. Because it's almost like scalping used to be. It proves that what he killed is a replica.
Yeah, because the eye has their, what was it, their left eye or their right eye has their eye.
Their right eye has printed on it.
Yeah.
A serial number.
That's unique. That
identifies.
Yeah. But apparently there's that in other body parts too.
Yeah, it's like a VIN number almost.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I wonder, like, so if you think about it, maybe each individual eye has a serial number, and that serial number is not necessarily the replicant's serial number. You know, because if you make them,
so you just know where the eye is.
They're making them almost whole now, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not assembling them in any way like they previously were. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically their VIN number. Their identification number is found under their right eye.
Right. So Kay and Love are both on track to try to find this baby that's been born.
Yep.
Meanwhile, like, one of the things that is new in the 1982 Blade Runner is that they've started giving replicants, or at least Rachel, the one that is new then, memories. And so that's the idea, is that they can develop these memories into kind of controlling their personalities, controlling how they react and follow through, which makes sense because Kay is a model where they're made to obey, and so they input these memories into the replicants now.
And Kay's been having a memory.
Yeah, Kay has a memory. That's just like a standard issue now. They have memories that go into their personalities.
So what's Kay's memory? What's the memory he has?
So Kay's memory is of. So it's this industrial type complex with kids running, and so it's Kay running and being chased by these other kids, and he's got this little horse, this wood carved horse that he's holding, and so they're trying to get the horse, and so he's protecting it, so he goes down and ends up hiding it in a
furnace,
an abandoned furnace.
Yeah, hiding it, and then standing up to the kids who are trying to take it from him and getting beat up. That's his memory. That's one of the memories. That's the only memory
that's
I think
the memory
he tells
that's
us
most
about.
Relevant to the plot of the movie.
And it flashes, so he goes back to Batista's house and he sees this date carved in this tree that was what. Did we explain who the bones belong to?
The bones belong to Rachel.
Which is Deckard's main squeeze from the first one.
Who died in childbirth is what... Like,
it's what they determined.
They determined that she died in childbirth.
Because of the cuts in her bones is ruled that she has the
emergency
C-section.
So it turns out back in 1982 Blade Runner, Rachel was fertile.
Yep.
Able to get pregnant.
And that was...
So Deckard didn't use a condom, huh?
So does that mean...
She thought she was a sex bot.
Right there is Deckard a replicant.
I don't think he is. And this movie goes out of its way not to answer.
I don't think so. In 2049, in order to be living where he's living, I think he has to be a replicant. If the idea is, like, you got all this radioactivity, and that's why humans don't live there, that's why you've got to have, like, a non-human...
So I read...
I think that that radioactivity had diminished.
No.
It was still, at that time, it was still that high.
Because they were testing for it before they went out there.
They were like, where is it that bad? And it was that place.
But if he's a replicant, how's he able to produce sperm?
Well, you guys said you produce other things. Tears, sweat.
Jizz, everything.
Blood.
But it's not just like making a milky liquid pops out.
Here's the thing, is that... So, Rachel was clearly a special model, right? And what they're implying, or they're basically saying, is that Tyrell also wanted to see if he could create one that could create life, could be impregnated and bring a baby to term.
And it was all done on purpose.
You'd have to assume that if Deckard is a replicant, that he would also have been built with the purpose of being able to inseminate a woman or a female, right?
Right,
and that's not going to be standard for a replicant.
So it was all set up for him to meet up with her.
Yeah,
that's what there's. Yeah,
that's what Wallace says.
That seems... I don't
that means everyone was in on it.
Well,
that means everyone, LAPD, everyone had been on this whole route.
Yeah, or Tyrell at least. I'm going with Occam's Razor, which is that just seems kind of... That seems like way overkill. Like they were expecting Roy to show up.
Yeah.
That's a bad explanation.
I don't think they're expecting Roy to show up. I think Tyrell made her specifically so that, well, I guess you need Roy to show up so that Deckard would come in and meet her.
Why do we think Deckard really impregnated her? Like, she could have been impregnated already.
She wasn't asked up there. Who was she sleeping with?
Yeah.
I mean, she was sleeping and they were injecting her or something.
No, she was made specifically for Deckard to meet up with him.
He is told by somebody who I'm not going to say is necessarily credible.
He seemed pretty, sold on the idea.
I mean, he has the knowledge to know that all of that is the case, but he also doesn't know how to...
Was he also saying that to psych him out?
That's what I thought.
There's kind of like an interrogation / torture.
Yeah.
Psychological approach. You know,
I'm not sold. I don't think like the movie goes out of its way not to give you a straight answer. Okay. Not necessarily that he's not a replicant. I don't think that this movie confirms one way or another. Right. Okay. And, I mean, he has... why does he have an open-ended life span as well? Because
right.
We don't know that Rachel necessarily did.
Yeah.
She could have had a 4-year lifespan too, because what is the date that's on it? 20?
10, 20, 20.
6, 10, 20.
6, 10, 20, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
21.
Which is
21. It was 21, yeah, so it was 2 years after.
Yeah, so 2 years after the events of the first movie, it's reasonable that even if she had the built-in 4-year lifespan, that she'd still be alive. He's an old man.
Maybe she was meant to die in birth. Maybe that was part of her lifespan.
Right. I mean, whatever the case might be, but he has an open-ended lifespan.
Right.
I'm sorry. Is that an argument that he's not a replicant? Because I think...
You're right.
The idea is the replicants are aging. Like, you see Batista, he's aging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they do. So he had an open-ended lifespan, but that doesn't mean...
But is Batista a later than a Nexus 6?
They don't say. And he's working with them, so...
It's hard to say because we don't know if Deckard is a replicant. We don't know what he is.
Right.
Is he a 6? Is he a 6.5?
Well, he's very smart. So he's probably a 5 or a 6. Right? He's on the... intelligence level of a regular human and also pretty much those
who are replicants. So, for him to be a replicant, he would have had to have been planted in there. He would have had to have been working with the LAPD in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Or
I would assume...
So, one of the ideas that I've seen people talk about is like, we don't know anything before the noodle stand, which is the introductory scene right. from the first Blade Runner.
Yeah.
So, he could have been manufactured, set there like... a week to get the neighborhood and to get an idea of the neighborhood and then sent off on his mission.
And that's what I thought it was. Like, I thought the Blade Runner is going after Nexus 6, which means he's Nexus 7. And now you have Nexus 8 going after Nexus anything else older. Like, I always thought, and that's why Rachel was like a newer version as well. They're not like super newer, but they're a newer version. With memories, because these guys don't have them. Nexus 6, they're sort of way back to 1982, folks. They don't have them.
Right.
All right. So K's journey leads him to an orphanage. Which is crazy.
An orphanage or a child sweatshop?
Both.
I mean, it's a little orphanage, right? You're going to live here, you're going to work.
What's his name? Yeah. Something James is last name. He's on The Walking Dead. He plays.
Was that him?
Yeah, I remember him from Snatch.
Snatch too. Forgot his name. He's great in it.
But how did he get to the orphanage? How did he get that direction?
So
he went to go search. He searched the DNA or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he saw. Yeah. He saw that both of them. There was a DNA match for a male and the female, and they were born on the same day,
and they have identical DNA.
Yeah,
and they were both traced to this orphanage.
So,
yeah.
He went back to work. Oh, the crazy part of that whole sequence is when he lands and he's sort of like crazy
Mad Max sort of thing.
Yeah. Homeless people come out of nowhere. Love.
This just is San Diego.
Bombs them with a drone while she's getting her nails done. Mm-hmm. She's just casually like bombing the hell out of these dudes.
She has some sort of like interactive glasses that are allowing her to like fire off drone rockets in like very precisely around his crash site.
Yeah.
Taking out all of the hostile.
Just taking these dudes smooth out.
Yeah, Love is working with Wallace to find the baby, so she's using.
Because they all Kay. have an incentive to find this baby. Yeah,
she's using Kay to basically lead
her. To do the footwork.
Yeah, do the footwork.
She goes and gets the bones and is interrupted by the LAPD science dude who's like, oh, you need the paperwork.
Lab tech guy, yeah.
And she breaks this man's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was gruesome.
She just punches him in the back of the neck and kills him.
So smooth, though. Because she gives him the papers. She's like, oh, you need the right papers, don't you? And she hands him the papers, steps, like, right past him, like, oh, I'm done. And then just whacks him in the back of the head. And his eye turned blue.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, insta-bloodshot. Like,
just, it was disgusting.
It was
so disgusting. So when Kay arrives at this sweatshop orphanage, it looks familiar. And it's the same place from his dream. Mm-hmm. He goes to the furnace in his dream, and there he finds the wooden horse with a birthday carved in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So now he's freaking out because he's like, am I this baby?
He thinks he's the baby.
His
memory.
So then he goes to the memory person, and which is like a cool scene of her like creating people's memories. They're creating like this birthday scene, and she says something like, you know,
all art has a part of their creator.
Yeah, part of creator. Like, and so he shows her this dream,
and she's in this dome because she has a disease.
Yeah,
which is the explanation.
Like an autoimmune disease.
Yeah,
just like J.F. Sebastian was not able to leave off world because he had a specific illness. She has an illness that causes immunodeficiency, so she lives in this bubble.
Yeah.
Like a physical, literal bubble, so she can't
have human interaction with people.
Yeah.
She's been there since she was 8, and her family went off world without her.
Yeah.
So she's creating with this really cool, like, camera-looking thing. And then he shows her memory. She starts crying and says, this is a real memory. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all we get from her.
And then he screams and he leaves.
Yeah, he has quite the outburst in the room. Quite the tension.
So that cuts that scene off.
Then he leaves. Yeah. So when he comes back, now he fails his test and he comes back to LAPD.
Yeah, now he's all goofed
up. She's like,
and he's way off baseline.
His boss is like, I can get you out of here alive.
Because now he's basically a rogue replicant.
Yeah.
If he's having these
emotions,
essentially.
I was confused there because she both said that she could get him out alive. But she also said, if you don't pass your next test, then I can't help you.
He was off duty after that. She could send him home, and he was supposed to report back in 48 hours.
Yeah,
right.
So,
48 hours.
So, yes, he can leave now. And test she again. Can, yeah. And,
was she basically saying, I don't think you'll pass next time?
Yeah.
So you should run.
Yeah, essentially, I think she knew.
Or else, get your shit together.
Yeah, get your shit together. So, the people's response to Kay, as even like, so other cops, as they walk by him, they're just throwing out racial slurs at him. Mm-hmm. You know, skin job, blah, 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 blah. And they don't like
him. He's just dodging him. He's like definitely lower class.
Yeah, and, you know, I think if it got out that he was a
grapevine sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, so if it got out that he wasn't normal anymore, then
somebody beat him on the
ground. Yeah, those guys, the other cops would probably have their way with him. So that's why she was saying, well, I'll get you out of here alive, but get your shit together.
So she was actually expecting him to come back.
She totally was expecting him to come back. She believed in him.
She believed in him.
I think she had the hots for him. I think she was.
Oh, she definitely did. Yeah. So. She definitely did.
As you will.
Sorry. Yeah.
And then he tells her that it's taken care of.
What?
He tells her that it's taken care of.
Yeah, so he tells
he lied.
He lies.
The baby's taken care of.
And here's the thing, they're not supposed to lie.
That's right, because he's the obedient model.
But he lies to her.
But now he's way off base, so it's kind of like the glasses are off, and so he can see the
But I'm thinking it's partially because it's a self-preservation thing. At this point, he thinks he is the baby.
Yeah.
So you can think there's certain things that would override some of the, even the deepest programming.
He lies. Straight up.
He straight up lies. Boom. Since the baby is taken care of. This whole time he's thinking it. And we're just come out and say, it's not him. We find out it's not him.
Right.
And that it's a redirect, and the actual person who is the baby turns out to be the woman who is creating the memories, and
But he doesn't find that out until he goes out to visit.
Right. I'm just looking at the movie now from the entirety. It was not him.
Yeah. But him finding out it's not him leads him out to this Vegas area where he's looking for Harrison Ford's character from the first movie, looking for Deckard. He finds Deckard. Deckard sort of like is being very elusive. He's asking him about the baby, and Deckard's like, "That was the deal we all made, right? Like the deal was that I left."
Is he looking for Deckard?
Yes.
Or is he just looking for where the wood
came? No, he's looking for Deckard because he's heard Deckard on the, he heard him on the recording
of Rachel,
right,
and
right.
He could tell that she was into him.
Which I think was really cool that they managed to get stuff from the first Blade Runner in there. Without it seeming shoehorned in.
No. So this is the recording of him interrogating her in First Blade Runner. He's like, he says to the guy helping him, she's into him. I can tell, by the way.
I liked that.
So he's looking for Deckard. Finds him. Deckard is really elusive about what's happening, but then tells him, like, this was the deal we made. The deal was that I leave. I was to be gone.
Because he's being... basically hunted. He's going to be chased by... Who's going to be chased by? The other Blade Runners?
Other Blade Runners, probably.
That was the other thing I said.
Or the police. Is he a replicant? Like, who would be hunting him?
Well, that's
a very good question.
Actually, because it's when you say hunting, it could be hunting the group, because she's a replicant.
Yeah.
So he is... And
it wasn't just the two of them.
Not,
it was a group. It wasn't just the two of them.
He has helped... Right. Whether or not he's a replicant or not, he's helping another replicant.
And it could be... So, in the first one, we thought that he's retired. And then that one guy, he gets beckoned by his buddy.
Yeah.
To go see the lieutenant dude or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seemed like the lieutenant guy had something on him to say, okay, well, you're either with us or something, you know.
Yeah, you can
blame. You're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah.
And so you want to do this for your best.
It's in your best interest.
Best interest to do this. And so maybe him leaving is almost like you owe something to the mob. Well, you can't just skip out on the mob's deal.
So he skips out on the end of the first movie. Yeah. So they're still on the hunt for him. They track. How do they even track? How do they track him? How do they track him to Deckard?
Track who to Deckard?
So oh,
the prostitute had put a tracking device in his pocket.
No. The love when she goes to LAPD and she takes out.
She confronts Robin Wright, his lieutenant.
And she lies too. She says, I'm going to tell Wallace that you attacked me, you went for your weapon, and she does some LAPD stuff, and I'm going to say you went for your weapon, and stabs her.
Yeah. So then
and
she,
like, uses her eyeball to get in the computer, drops her, and finds him.
She I wonder why Wallace would have even cared.
That's what I thought, too. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
Like,
but it shows that she's having these emotions, because she cries earlier in the film when Wallace is giving that speech when that replicant's born, and he's talking, and
cuts his stomach. That was weird.
It seemed like there's a lot of crying, too. And that was a very weird scene.
Well, I mean, remember the whole thing about eyes in the previous movie. I think this is kind of a continuation of the theme of eyes and humanity. Like, clearly crying is a symbol of humanity as far as the movies are concerned.
Yeah. She's having an emotional response to watching this other replicant get killed and the speech he's giving about life and populating the earth and helping. Anyway, so they follow Kay out to see Deckard. They shoot up the place. They come in. I think they're going to grab Kay and kill him. They don't. They grab Deckard. They smash his little helper, crush her little device, so she's gone.
Yeah,
Joy kills Joy.
His girlfriend.
Kay's left behind, and they take Deckard to their headquarters to sort of get him to tell them where the baby is.
Yeah.
Why didn't they kill Kay there?
He was pointing. Why?
He knows enough stuff, and he's capable enough of somehow interfering with their plans.
Well, I mean, if you look at it from their perspective, they just blew up the one car. They probably blew up his other police car. He's in Las Vegas, which is a radioactive wasteland.
That somebody has literally survived in for decades.
Right. So, I mean, I would say that from their perspective, they probably thought they destroyed all those modes of transportation.
I thought this was one of those movie things where the...
Here's the thing.
Where they should kill the protagonist.
Double tap.
But also, if the group doesn't come to help him, because he's wounded when they leave him.
Yeah,
this whole movie is about Ryan Gosling's K getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
A little diehard in a way.
Yeah, exactly. He's John McClane, just blood everywhere.
So if they don't come rescue him, who knows?
Yeah, but why leave it to that?
He's a dangling thread. That happens to be how he gets out.
Yeah.
But there's so many ways that he could interfere. And the brutality of these people would make you think they would just shoot him. He's also a rogue replicant.
Yeah.
At this point.
So they leave him behind. The prostitute girl shows up.
Most important part of the movie, the dog doesn't die.
Dog doesn't die.
The dog's alive right there.
If it's a real dog. The prostitute girl shows up.
Same. Even if it's not a real dog, it's so sweet.
With some other people. And they explain to him that he's not the baby. It's a woman. It's a young woman. Mm-hmm. And that... We need her. We gotta start a revolution. This is what we need.
Revolution number 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or continuation of revolution number 1.
They end up repairing him at some campsite in the middle of Vegas. It looks like in the desert, which is one of my favorite scenes because it's that shot of like the embers from the fire going up and it turns into the skylight.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That was amazing. So now they're trying to take Deckard off world.
To torture him to get more information.
Right.
They're like, I can do stuff off-world
that I can't do on Earth.
Yeah, apparently.
What would that be?
I don't want to know.
I'm sure it's like, you know.
Different rules.
Yeah, different rules.
But what rules are they operating
They're still on Earth.
Yeah,
So they're going
to. I don't know who's enforcing the rules on these people, considering what we've seen them do.
So the way this world is set up, the world the city's set up, like, all of the... sign and stuff is faced inwards and down, so at nighttime above the city, it's just pitch black. It's just dark. So when they're flying around at night, it's just lights and darkness. So they end up outside of the wall where the water is at some point. Mm. And Kay.
So did you take those to be that sea levels had risen to the degree that they need to hold the ocean back, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this sequence where there's this big fight between Kay and Love while Deckard's handcuffed inside this
scene. I thought that scene was just like Kay buying time while Deckard died, like distracting Love so that she couldn't take him off world.
Yeah.
But then turns out he's...
He saved me.
Yeah, he decides he's doing something else.
He was distracted by the revolutionary robot replicant.
To kill him.
To kill him.
I forgot that, yeah.
They need to keep Wallace away from the baby, even if it means killing Deckard. And I think they said to kill him, right?
Like, because he's going to lead him back to us, and he can't do that.
And I think that's the big character moment for him, is that he's decided not to do what the robot, what the replicant revolution wants him to do either.
Yeah. Yes.
He's always obeying somebody or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's decided that he wants this person to live. And not just live, because he's decided he wants this person to meet Deckard. He's decided he wants Deckard to meet his daughter.
Mm-hmm. That's what he tells him.
Which is a very, like, human choice.
Well, yeah, the whole movie is about the revolution of Kay. Mm-hmm. He starts out as very obedient, very straight line, and then he's doing his job, and then he starts finding his humanity.
When Batista tries to reason with him with emotion, he's just like, give me your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like, bang, bang, I'm out of here. Not until he finds those bones that it challenges his thinking. Because he's got those flashbacks of Batista saying, you haven't witnessed a miracle. That's why you are the way you are.
Really great line. And it's delivered very early.
Yeah.
Because
you've never witnessed a miracle.
That's why you don't believe that the world can be different.
Yes. Yeah. Which I thought was great.
And it's actually interesting. Great line. Like, this is, it's not a virgin birth, but like it has the sort of connotation that this, like if you can imagine these replicants, two like a thousand years down the line, the sort of legend that the birth of this, yeah, it's a birth that shouldn't have been based off of the rules of the world, essentially. Yeah,
it's immaculate conception.
Yeah, well, so that's, I mean, there's a lot of religious kind of references. And like the whole idea of Rachel, because the history of Rachel being Jacob's wife, and Rachel and Leah, and like one can have children and one cannot, and one dies in childbirth and one does not. So it's like we're going there, but we're not going to completely go there. We're just going to kind of mention it and reference it.
Which is interesting because they name her Rachel.
Name her Rachel
in the first movie without any. I don't know that he had any idea of this as being the plot of some sequel.
Yes, but that's what they're implying in this one, is maybe that was the point.
Yeah,
like she was Rachel because she was the one that was going to have kids.
I understand that. I'm curious. It just, they lucked out that her name was Rachel in the first movie.
It just makes sense to put that dialogue in since her name is Rachel. It could have been, you could have named her Lisa and had that same character, but if you...
They lucked out because it has that biblical, that extra biblical...
Layer to it.
Layer to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is so, there also the Handmaid's Tale? Is that the same biblical story that they use in that?
I don't know. That show scares me.
No, because that one's the handmaid is the one who... Here, use my handmaid because I can't have kids. Okay. Oh, wait. I don't know. Honestly, she means the one who like put me onto Rachel and all that anyway. I don't even remember any of that from the Bible.
The movie ends with Kay taking Deckard to go see his daughter.
Yep.
I really liked it. That.
And Kay's laying on the steps. He's wounded. Is it snow or ash? I can never tell.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to tell. It looked like snow by the end.
Ash, though, right?
And they said it's a storm.
It melts.
Ash kind of falls apart, though, as it lands.
No, it doesn't melt.
And then
he holds his hand out, and then it stops falling.
Does Kay die on the steps?
No,
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
Even though he got messed up,
he got messed up.
Like she stabbed him, and then like
tried to drown him.
But then he flies, however long to get to that place. Like if he's dying, if he's really like dying,
and it's like daytime now.
I doubt he's even the one flying the car.
Right.
Or they can stop off at a medic or something. I don't.
So far as you know, Wallace is still around. No more love.
No love.
The baby, we know who the baby is. Deckard's around.
So this leads me to think that they at least, like, I don't think they should follow this movie.
They will,
but they have left the right. They have left the right type of hooks for them to be able to.
I think they should leave it be. A 4-picture deal.
Oh shit!
So
we'll at least get two.
Five.
What's the second story? I want to see Off-World. I still haven't been waiting to see. I want to see what it looks like Off-World. I have no idea what that looks like.
Were you a little excited then when they were like, we're going to take you Off-World? You're like, yeah, let's go.
I don't know, because the movie was close to ending. I was like, oh, no, they're not going to make it Off-World.
Yeah. How'd you know it was close to ending?
I had been there for a while.
Yeah. So that was my problem with it. And like, we've said this earlier too, but... We just went to the 7:30 show. Not late, but at the end of the workday, towards the end of the week.
Feels long.
It was too long. And in the theater, I mean, it's a great...
What part would you cut?
All the naked women being sexualized. I mean, we haven't gone into that yet, but that was a gripe that I have.
Board of Joy?
There's a gripe that I have from 1982 Blade Runner, and it's like times 10 in 2049. It's just ridiculous.
The naked joy stuff?
Like women are either sex bots. They're all sex bots. Like, all of it. Just is ridiculous.
Yeah, we didn't really need the prostitute stuff.
I didn't need a lot of it.
Him and her, like, the surrogate stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk forever about the joy stuff because she's such a weird. It's almost like
I thought she was perfect for him, though.
For sure, but I don't know, just like the whole connection and just like.
Because I think it humanized him because we're watching this guy who follows rules and it gave him something that someone to care about.
Yeah, but it just sucks because he's getting more humanity and so now he's lost joy and then he's walking in a city or something, so he sees a giant billboard of joy. Mm-hmm. And joy is like an Alexa that you go and buy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it's whatever you want her to be is what she'll be. And so,
on the flip side.
But she says something to him that his joy said to him all the time.
She calls him Joe.
And then she says something else. What does she say? Like,
You could be my Joe or...
That's something else too. It's been that type of day. It's been some sort of day or something like that.
Which is what she says to him
when he comes home that first time.
And I think he realizes...
But if you think about it, like, I don't know if he has...
just the thing.
I think she set him up.
Sort of...
Whoa, time out. You think what?
I think she set him up.
Do I set him up how?
Like, she probably did.
Yeah.
Set him up with...
Because he's connected to the company they work for?
Yeah, as soon as he pulls the antenna out, that signals to...
Love. Freaks out.
To love she's that like, he's going rogue mm-hmm. or that he's...
She says,
she's like, take me with you. I'm coming with you. And break this chip. And, like, he does it. And then they find him pretty darn quick.
Remember, they make actually a point multiple times. And I think on that giant billboard, even, she says what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And so she's like, well, she's like, destroy my memory banks. Or just, like, for my hard drive, because they'll be able to use that against you. Well, which might actually be protecting the company. But it also, it's plausible then... A plausible reason for him to break the antenna to give a signal to Love that she needs to come and track him down.
Meanwhile, she should have seen the prostitute lady putting the tracker in his coat, and it's just weird. Like she just I didn't
trust
her. Why should
she have seen it? I didn't get that.
She was standing right there.
No, she wasn't. She came into the room.
I'd say that she's almost like an Alexa, where she is. She's
always there.
She's every facet of your house, and she's aware of everything.
You're saying that she has eyes pointed, or cameras pointed all over the place?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she does. You would see cameras or something around there.
It's a holographic projection, so it's probably taking a picture of the environment so that it knows where to project her.
She shows up, she says something when, like, she's basically letting this girl do... like these things, but then when she picks up the horse, she's like, okay, that's too far, that's messing up our game, so stop. And like that's when she's like, oh, I'm here, remember, you can leave now.
Yeah.
So I get the impression that she could have stopped her at any of those points and didn't.
I would say she's more not up for Wallace Corporation. I'd say she's more for the revolutionary replicants, because her telling him like, hey, wipe my hard drive so that way they can't get any information out of you. Because he's talking to her about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And then she's also like, hey, disconnect my antenna so that way they can't track him. Yeah, it signals to them like, oh, they just lost the signal. That means that he's on the run. But if he hadn't driven his cop car like a fucking idiot, they wouldn't have been able to track him.
I don't know that they tracked him with a cop car.
But then that's how they did it.
I don't know.
She went to the LAPD.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
right out of the computer and then found it.
What other car would he have?
I don't know that she got him through the car. I think she got other information from that, but I think she got him.
No, she did.
They show it on the screen.
That's where the car is.
That's what she was doing on the computer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
What that Joy said.
That's how I knew it was Las Vegas. Because I was like, oh, yeah, confirmed. That's where you are.
That Joy could also, like, I don't know how, like, whether or not she has self-preservation, but the whole idea that he needs to wipe the hard drive, they already are tracking her. She could be uploaded to the cloud. Like, they could have all that information already.
And that's what I assumed.
She could just be saying whatever whoever is controlling her wants her to say in order to manipulate his actions.
Pretty much. So yes, that's one thing that I would take out. I thought Joy was very interesting because it's like the next stage of at what point do you have, like, you have intelligence, artificial intelligence, at what point do you have life, at what point do you exist?
Exactly.
And all of that. Like, it was a really interesting and fun, like next alive? Piece to yeah, it.
She was very much alive besides being out.
And she wanted to be alive.
And you, it was hard because it was like, I'm not sure, I don't know if any of this is real, but like as she... is about to get smashed out and she runs to him and says, I love you. I believe
that. And
then
it's not until you see the advertisement that you realize that, oh, she's programmed to do that. How much of that is authentic and how much of that is
programmed? I think she didn't come across as authentic to me.
You don't think so?
Especially by the end of the movie, it all seemed like it was running off of a programming that doesn't have its own initiative.
It reminds me of her, right? At the end of her, when she's when you ask her how many guys she dated, and it's like in the thousands.
Yeah.
How many conversations are you having right
well,
now?
Well, so what she reminded me of, you know what I mean? Was there's a character on Star Trek Voyager. They're lost far away from the rest of their fleet, and they've lost their doctor, and they have an emergency doctor that is a hologram, and they have to basically run this emergency doctor 24/7 because it's the only doctor they have, and eventually it starts to grow its own personality and its own independence, and then they give it a device just like what he has, and it's able to move around. The hologram is able to move around outside of its old confinement. So I didn't know if she was like that or if she was more like less developed as far as intellectual capacity.
That's a good question. Yeah. Wow. I need to watch it again.
Yeah, oh. I'm excited to watch it again.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it again.
Okay, so that's the other piece. I was saying it was too long for me at that point. Like, I think there's so much to it, and I have a feeling I'm going to love watching this a few more times. But it at the time of day, with the amount of energy I had, I mean, I wasn't yawning going into the theater, but it was just towards the end of the day, and sit down and watch a movie. I was glad I hadn't gone to happy hour, because I think I would have crashed quicker. And like, you know, our seats weren't the most comfortable, so it was
right.
I mean, when they were beating up Deckard, I was like, I feel you a little bit right now. This is a bit of torture for me too. Like, when will this end? And not that I wanted it to hurry up and end, but I wanted to get to the ending. Like, I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm in it, let's go. And then there was parts where it's like I was so checked out, but I knew they looked cool. Like, I was like, this is good. I can't right now.
Yeah.
So
I would say I love the theater that we saw it in.
Yeah.
But the seats were really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I couldn't stretch my legs out.
Nope.
We should have sat in the row before.
We should have. I was getting claustrophobic.
So, in the future, we're gonna. So the IMAX, the Boeing IMAX at the Seattle Pacific Science Center,
the best.
It's a great theater, but the seats are very close to much more vertical than your average theater, and have very little foot room in front of them, except for like one row, which is the row that people walk through to get to the different rows. And I think we should just sit there.
Here's my you guys were thinking about that, and I'm wondering, because we watched Inception from the back row, and I'm kind of wanting to try that one again because there's so much space back there. Like, I was like, I could have stood up. I could have stretched.
There was leg room in that one?
Yeah. There's space in that back area.
Is that like a handicap section, you think?
No. It is. Well, that's where we sat when I was in handicap seating. So I don't know if I don't know if it was special seating. I know that's where they like the elevator
did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the elevator's up there. So yeah, that is a handicap
seat. But there was space back there. I was like, I would have just been walking around.
And then they'll kick you
out. And that would have been good. Do some jumping jacks. All the
good seats have already been taken.
But yeah, that's my new. And Josh, you were saying like the sound is kind of a lot. Like, that was the one downside of sitting back there during Inception, where I was like, oh, I don't have this surround sound because you're kind of a little bit behind. But if that's okay with you.
It definitely might win for sound design.
The music was too loud.
Yeah, I think that either realized it and turned it down. I don't know if they can.
I felt it was loud all the way through.
Oh, you think so? I thought it was especially loud.
You guys both said that, and I believe that. I believe that. It's just, even after that part, I was like, this is drowning out as opposed to enhancing.
I didn't notice it at all.
If you listen to the soundtrack on Spotify,
it
sounds a lot, it's tons more crisper, because I think in the theater it's way too loud, and so it starts to warble a little bit, and so you kind of,
because that gong sound like dong.
Yeah.
I feel like it needed to be more to the background.
Yeah, I will say though, all the sound effects, the cars,
yes,
yeah,
and just the music, the whole tone of it, everything was just amazing.
There was no like suspension of disbelief in this. Like, I was just watching
those vending machines. Were cool. I was there. The vending machines with the food in them.
Oh yeah, it was weird. Just the whole. I mean, they put a lot of thought into how everything comes together and how it's a real world.
Yeah,
you know, and so I would just watch it just because it's almost like a screensaver.
Oh my gosh, there's this like all orange one with like Ryan Gosling's like, I don't know, facing away, and I was like, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
that's when he was going to Vegas?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, what would you cut out? I think there's a lot of those slow-paced, like, shots of Ryan Gosling just walking really slow.
Yeah, oh, he was so slow. 15 minutes by cutting a lot of those in half.
There's so many scenes of, like, him just looking at, like, he spent, what, 3 minutes looking at the Joy hologram? Just staring, yeah. Looking at it. And then there's so many shots.
Like 5 minutes of him walking from the car to the hotel in Vegas.
Just walking to the Vegas thing, which was, I mean, for it being a washed out, orange, glowy kind of scene, it was still kind of impressive, though.
Yeah. What did you guys make of the bees in that scene?
That the honeybees survive.
Somebody living there.
That's yeah.
Because I don't know.
Somebody's living
those
there.
Those are probably fake bees, too, right?
No.
You don't think they're fake?
No. Like, here we have this whole problem of, like, we don't have bees anymore, and it turns out the bees live.
Something can live there. I
bet you there's more symbolism to it.
Something can live. Like,
probably. Aren't bees biblical, too? Isn't there some biblical thing about bees?
Everything's biblical.
We'll have to look it up.
Honey whiskey. Don't we drink some whiskey in Vegas,
is it
too?
Is it Beyonce the Beehive? Is that one as well? Beyonce survives.
There's some good product placement.
I'm not sure about that. But
that Johnny Walker Black label.
But yeah. Isn't that whiskey? And like there's bees, Scott, like honey.
You're thinking like there's a Tennessee honey Jack Daniels, I think. Mm. And Bushmills makes a good We're way off.
And they had that really cool jukebox with the hologram that popped up.
Oh yeah, that was really neat.
Well, even the holographic
Elvis.
That was really cool when they're fighting and it's like the glitching out hologram. Yeah. And it's just like the music is not there and then it's there and then it's
it's that kinda technology that's new, like more advanced than what we have, but is old to them.
Yeah.
Again, I think that scene went a little longer than it needed to.
Yes.
There was a lot with it. Like, we're introducing Harrison Ford. Yeah, got it. Yeah. We can speed this up a little.
Yeah. So this movie, like you said, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
46.
And 40, jeez. Blade Runner, at least the most recent cut, is less than 2 hours. Yeah. Barely less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's already, I know, seems kind of like a slog. This movie was a bit indulgent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, in the Vegas scene, after him and Harrison Ford meet, he's literally laying there, and the dog comes up or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stare at each other.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, I wonder about that, too.
I'm sweating my ass off.
Yeah. But you're also kind of like a little urgency, no? Like you're on the run and...
Yeah, and he's just kicking back. His little hologram's going through Deckard's stuff like it's her own. And so it's like, I don't know. And then
Have they decided what they were going to do next?
No.
I thought he was just hiding out. There was no urgency.
He was hiding out? People knew where he was going.
He didn't know that.
He just quit his job. What are you going to do? You just quit your job?
Yeah.
You just found your dad. You just found your dad.
You think that's your dad.
You go crash with your uncle.
Hey, dad.
Back in the basement.
Look like
he's a millennial. Yeah.
Dad.
Look like
he's at a sweet house.
Oh, really?
I was kind of like, if you can live there,
I love his,
if you can live there, why aren't people there?
Yeah, liquor all over the place.
Like, if you're an alcoholic and it's the post-apocalypse, sure, you go to Vegas.
No one comes around.
You go to a Vegas hotel.
Because I don't think anyone lives in that area.
That's right.
You're just there drinking, living it up.
Oh, and I thought he was pouring one out for the homies.
I did too.
But no, that was for the dog. The dog is also a drunk.
The replicant dog, alcoholic.
But I don't buy that, like, only Harrison Ford is living there.
Oh, it's only Harrison Ford.
Why wouldn't anyone else
try
it?
There might be more people living in the greater area, but it seems like the sort of place where you don't go unless you really want to. Because
people think it's radioactive out there.
Yeah. And it was, what was it? They said it was nominal? The radioactive was nominal there?
They said it was nominal. Like, they just haven't bothered to resettle. Because why would you resettle a place with nominal radiation when you have all these off-planet places?
Yeah.
And the sort of people who are still living on Earth, they might as well just keep packing themselves into the settlements that are left, the major cities, as opposed to... They don't seem like a hopeful people.
No.
No.
That one got off world.
They don't... Oh, that was something that they, like, don't have real wood. That, like...
Yeah.
But yeah, my man was there from Captain Phillips. From Captain Phillips, wasn't he?
Is that
the Somalian dude?
Somalian dude, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked him. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Captain Phillips, but I like him.
Yeah, he's good. He did good.
He's like this. So Kay has brought him the wooden horse, which is like, I don't know, no bigger than, I don't know,
it fits in the palm of your hand.
3 inches by 3 inches or something like that. But he's like, you're a wealthy man. I can buy you a real horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A real fake horse.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did he say real fake horse?
Yeah, well, it was a fake horse like that, he was gonna.
Because he kept saying real, and I was like, what? So
he said, get a paper to go off world.
Oh yeah, he could get him. Like, so anyways, this small chunk of real
actual wood. That's so sad.
And that's interesting because they talk about these wonderful off-world colonies, but it's possible they don't have real wood out there either, right?
It's not like it, no. So stuff is valuable, very valuable. Wow. What a great movie.
Yeah, it's good. Highly recommend it.
I don't know if I recommend it. I don't know if I highly recommend it.
Is it because of the objectification?
That got to me a lot. I also don't believe that in 2049 there aren't more people of color living on Earth.
There's a shit ton of them. That's all over the city. They just don't have speaking roles.
Yeah. One of the prostitutes was black.
Yeah, there's Asian people all over the place.
So, his hologram was played by a Cuban.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think her grandparents were all white.
it's like the Annie Samberg version of South Africa or an African.
Right.
From Tour de Pharmacy.
Tour of the Pharmacy.
Oh my god.
Have you watched that?
African's gonna win. Anyway. I get it, but I also in 2017, like, do better.
I also
just
like
do better.
John Cena.
I didn't need to see that objectification. I didn't appreciate it, I didn't enjoy it, and I didn't think it was necessary.
I feel you with all of that, except for it also rang true to me. That's...
Well, be better, people.
Replicate?
Even if it rang true to you.
Been a replicant?
No, like an overly set planet ruled by corporations.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not go there. Like, let's do better. So, do better, everyone.
More Star Trek, less Blade Runner?
Yes.
Just more clothes?
Star Trek, The Next Generation?
Let women wear clothes?
A little more cludge.
I like
but
that.
There wasn't that much nudity in it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
How
many nipples do you see? The nipples in that movie. How many penises do you see? Like one that's like
Tour de
in like a bloated body.
Who had penis in the movie?
There was like a, in the morgue.
Oh, the morgue.
That's it. Like it's the women are not treated well in this.
Well, except for Robin Wright.
And what's her name? Love.
And Love.
She's crazy.
She murdered people.
So?
You didn't even say Joy is her hologram. Is
No.
She walks through changing outfits like within like a minute into all types of sexy outfits for him.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
I don't think her.
They didn't need to do all that. That's my opinion.
Well, actually, okay, Joy, and then also the woman with one eye. The leader of the resistance lady. She's not over sexualized either.
Did I say every woman in this is over-sexualized, or did I say this movie is over-sexualizing women and objectifying them? And it made me very uncomfortable as a woman, and the woman I was sitting next to in the theater also mentioned it without me asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing there are others of us out there, you know, who felt that way.
It's like X-Files, if you're out there.
So, you're out there. I don't know why you're making me defend it, but I'm telling you that is what I think is a problem with
it. What you're saying is true. 100% true. It's 100% true. Yeah. You're right.
So, let's not have the future that way. Let's not have the future, like, super polluted and all of that. There's lots we don't want about this future world.
Let's not bioengineer humans.
It's
not.
Yeah. Like, there's lots that we can avoid in it, but... In terms of somebody, sitting and watching, I didn't appreciate that part. But aside from that, I really liked it. Did anyone have favorite parts in this?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah, I think we had to watch it a few times.
Not yet, but go see it.
So many things to experience. We don't know if the dog is real. The dog can't be real. Because, like, real animals are just not real anymore.
Yeah, I doubt the dog is real.
Yeah.
And it survived that blast.
Yeah, but they did too.
But neither of them are real either. I do feel like more questions than answers came out of both these movies.
They don't. They're not that much more durable than humans. He shoots Pris once and she dies. He shoots Zara like twice in her back and she dies.
Yeah. But those are Nexus Sixes.
Okay.
I mean, Ryan Gosling. he took a beating.
Yeah, he got.
Quite a few.
I think they have better healing technology is what it is, because he puts something on and closes up that
yeah and it starts to like heal
really quickly.
Yeah, oh. He said, oh, I'll just glue it.
Yeah, that's something. Here. So Love dies by drowning?
That makes sense.
Yeah, so they definitely like need air.
Oh yeah. Because they're made of cells.
Yeah.
So.
And bones. Sorry, couldn't look it up. I know science. Yeah. I was surprised. So we talked about this when we did 1982 Blade Runner, but I was surprised not to see mechanical parts inside. Like, I really did picture robots with like blood over top of the robot.
You think of the Terminator?
No, that's Terminator.
Basically,
1984. We can do that movie too.
Yeah, we are at some point. Those are cyborgs. There's so many great movies from the 80s. I'm so excited.
Those are cyborgs.
Yeah. Cyborgs are a type of android. No?
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah. So.
But that's not what these are. That's not what the replicants are.
Nope, they are not.
In the previous episode about the explanation of
replicants. And androids. The supplementary one. Where I go into deep
hole. Yeah, and we'll call it Kid Dreams of Sleeping Android Sheep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways, I'd recommend the movie.
Yeah, definitely. And watching the first one beforehand.
It is. Yeah, it's a full on sequel.
You need to see the first one to come out, not confused.
Yeah.
But good job. Well done. Definitely a good movie.
Yeah. Good job, Dennis Villeneuve.
We didn't talk about Gaff. Gaff is old too.
Gaff's in it. He makes it.
And he speaks like
regular.
He speaks like
you lose your accent after time.
But no? In an old book,
it was it wasn't an accent. It was a mixed language. It was
different speech.
Okay. All right. We'll watch it. Everyone, watch it. Enjoy it, and we will see you next week. Or ish. Yeah. Bye.